Have you been reflecting back on 2023 and looking at all the things that God has done for you and I? When we do that, isn't it a blessing to know that God, He got us through it? Amen. And now we're into a new chapter, as we said before, and the Lord will see us through this new year. And 2024, I don't just want to exist. Do you? No, I want to abound. I want to abound in my spiritual life. I really want to do something for the Lord. And I know you do too. That's why you're here this morning. And so we're going to start things off right this new year with just allowing Jesus, saying, Lord, just do what you will in our lives. And in fact, whenever we have our morning prayer, I want us to start this new year off with an altar of prayer. The whole church coming down in just a few moments and just really praying for the service, but praying for this new year as well, as a church corporately, but individually as well. God has done a lot of great things again in 2023, touched a lot of people, brought a lot of people through sicknesses and surgeries and different things. But I just want to do that this morning in a few moments. I'll call us all down. Just start off right in the time of prayer together and move forward. But are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're glad we are here, and good to see the Martins back with us, all well and smiling. And of course, Miss Carla was under the weather. She's better, so good to see her back as well and smiling. But several others have been sick, and they're all back. But I do want to bring you up to speed on some people to continue to pray for. And I've got a few announcements to make. Let's remember Chuck Prester's brother, Lewis, and his heart condition. Was it a stent that he had? But let's remember him in that recovery process. Also, is it Sharon, her knee surgery she had? Let's remember her and her recovery. And also, I want to bring you up to date on my grandfather. He, last week, he was in the hospital, and I believe he's home at this point. I believe he's already been released. Actually, some family had to build a ramp for him to get into the house. He had a pretty big surgery, had to have a couple of toes removed. And him being a diabetic and all, here's the thing, you know, the doctor gave him some diabetic shoes, and he wore them, but it actually ended up working against him. Than anything, it actually caused a bad infection on his foot, and so that's where he's at this morning. He's at home recovering from that, and so you just remember him in prayer, and I appreciate that, and I'll let him know that everybody's praying for him. Continue to remember Larry Bennett and his recovery, Miss Claudia, and some of the medications that she's going to be taking to prevent the cancer that God touched and pushed back and removed. Also, good to see Brother Larry Teague. I know Miss Christy Teague was sick a couple times through the holidays. She's better now, I do believe, but still recovering. And so let's remember Christy and Connie and Brother Larry. And again, remember Brother Don Rich and his endeavor to figure out what's going on with him and the heart doctor. But also, I just want to echo once again for us to remember all the prayer requests in our midweek service. We don't forget about those. There's many that are mentioned we couldn't put in place on our bulletin prayer list columns. There's so many. But if you have given a prayer request on Wednesday nights, please know we are praying for those needs and anything you do mention. All right. Well, let me mention some things. Tonight we have a very special service. Dakota Lee will be singing with us, or singing here for us tonight. And Brother Bo Spriggs will be bringing the message. They're both part of Grace Baptist Church, and Dakota is part of Grace Christian School. So we're looking forward to that, and please be here for that, to support this meeting. It'll be a great time to kick off our new year here at Calvary. It's going to be a great, great meeting. Also, remember, ladies, the second Thursday of every month will be the Ladies' Prayer Brunch here in the Fellowship Hall of the Church. And if you haven't been a part of that, please make plans on being part of that this first Thursday, or the first Ladies' Prayer Brunch on the second Thursday of this month, first one of the new year. Be part of that. It's a very, very uplifting, encouraging time. It is available for you to come to, so please be a part of that. Also, special announcement, Not many people know about this. The choir was notified this morning. But we do have a special choir appointment on the 21st. That is January 21st, Sunday night at 5 o'clock. And this is going to be our entire Sunday night service. We are moving things over to Eastwood Baptist Church in Marietta off of All Good Road. Here's the reason. We were invited to come and to sing along with three other choirs. It's going to be Eastwood Baptist Church Choir, East Cobb Baptist Church Choir, Floyd Road Choir, and then our choir. It's going to be four choirs in one loft. Can you imagine that? And it's going to be a great time, but it's to honor the ministry of Brother Alan Barrett, who has directed in three of those choirs. And like somebody said before, and I like it, let's don't wait till a person passes to honor them. Let's honor them while they're alive. And so it's going to be a singing that night. It's going to be a great time. If you need the address, see me after service. We'll make sure you get that. So that's on the 21st. Saying that, if you sing in the choir, there is a choir practice the night before or the morning before, that Saturday, the 20th, at Eastwood at 11 a.m. And the coordinator who set this up told me to tell everybody, if you can't make the choir practice, that's fine. Just whenever you get to the meeting the next day at 5 o'clock, just come on into the choir loft and do your best to blend in. But a lot of these songs, I'm sure all of our choir people already know. But remember that choir practice on the 20th, Saturday, 11 a.m., Sunday, 5 o'clock at Eastwood. It's going to be a great, great meeting. And so remember that. I do want to say this briefly. We've been mentioning outreach. That is still going to happen. The first outreach will probably be unannounced because January, we're just flying through January. And so I'll be going kind of like an icebreaker into the community this month. We'll definitely have something in the books so that you could see for next month. But if you're interested in going with me this month on a particular Saturday, again, it's going to be unannounced. It may, I'm juggling a couple different Saturdays. This choir practice appointment kind of got in front of me a little bit. And so just see me on that. But we will be church-wide outreach in February. But I will be going this month. See me if you want to go with me. Also, we have in February Otis Nixon coming. I'm still waiting to hear back from him. It's either going to be the 4th or the 11th. I do apologize that we haven't ironed that out yet. But we're talking about a Braves player, former Braves player. You know, he's everywhere doing everything. So, but don't miss that meeting. It's going to be on a Sunday morning, the 4th or the 11th. It's going to be an awesome meeting. He's going to give his testimony, and I'm sure he's willing to sign autographs and things like that, too, after the service. So remember that. A couple other things. We have Jubilee coming up in March. So we are booking things pretty tightly all the way through this new year, just how we wanted to do. There's going to be three singing groups. There's going to be one choir, two count nires, six preachers. The singing group, Second Coming, is going to be with us. The singing group, the Carl Partain family, is going to be with us. And the singing group, the Joy Heirs, are going to be with us. And the choir, visiting choir, is going to be Pine Ridge Baptist Church Choir, where Nick Keller is the pastor. And that is the dates, March the 3rd, Sunday, through March the 7th on a Thursday. Last thing I want to mention, I know that's a lot. I'm going to be meeting with Brother Carl Durant, our painter, this Tuesday, to just look at the foyer. We had already thought about this and would like to get this done before Jubilee. And we're just talking, we're just looking. Fellowshipping a little bit. Brother Carl is a great man. And let me just throw this out there. If you want to be a part of that, of supporting that job there, then just see me after the service. Let me know. And so we're doing that on Wednesday or Tuesday, making things ready for Jubilee. All right. Busy schedules, staying busy for the Lord. That's wonderful, isn't it? And so that's what we want to do this coming year, is stay busy for Jesus. We want Him to add His blessing to this church. Want to do something. I want to catch traction. I want to move forward, giving it everything I got, and I know you will give it everything you got as well. Let's see God do something great in 2024. With that said, let's all join down in the together in the altar. Let's have a time of prayer together. This is our morning prayer. Let's just ask God to do something great. Let's ask God to start with us individually. And let us not despise the beginning of small things. Trickles lead to streams. Streams lead to rivers. Rivers lead to oceans. And so we're just wanting to start doing something great for God. Continue to do something great. While we're talking about prayer requests and all, let's do remember our friend Ricky and friends of Miss Robin and Tyler that are here this morning. Good to see you guys. We love you. All right, as we always do, feel free, whenever I'll pray out loud, audibly, but you can feel free to take a seat on the pew, to bow a knee, stand there like you are, however you feel comfortable. Let's just have an unrushed prayer time before God this morning, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen for the singing part of the service. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, and we're just so very thankful, God, that we're here in 2024. Lord, several times we could have done things wrong, stumbled, went the other way in 2023, and probably in some cases we did. But I'm thankful, God, that you saw us all through it. I'm thankful that mercy and grace is chasing after me. Thankful that mercy and grace is chasing after your children, Lord. This morning, help us to breathe in the love of God, knowing that we are truly loved by you, and then exhale the love of God, showing your love to others. Inhale, exhale. God, help us don't forget to breathe in 2024 spiritually. Father, I just pray for all these requests. We lift up everyone, every life, every person, every situation. You're God. You're on the throne. You know who needs what. But Father, corporately as a church, we're ready. Father, as a church, we want to move forward. And that's not just words we're saying. God, you look upon the heart and you know the heart. Man looks on the outward, but God looks upon the heart. And I'm thankful that you look upon the heart because you know, God, that we want to do something. Father, I pray that you'll bless our small efforts, our small endeavors. Like the little lad, God, we are transferring our burden. And we know you'll transform it, God. But Father, I pray for the church to rally around me in this. They already are. Maybe there's some who haven't yet, but God, I pray that they will. I pray, God, that we could share this vision of 2024, going the extra mile, making things happen, just going after Jesus. Like someone told me this past week, they truly believe Jesus meets us in our endeavors. And so, Father, meet us in our endeavors. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for the things that you have done, the things that you're doing now, the things you're going to do right here, right now. Lord, I just pray that you would captivate all of our minds. Start with my mind, Lord. Captivate my mind this morning, just for 1 hour. And for all of us, Lord, as Lord, you said in the Garden of Gethsemane, what? Could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? 1 hour? And like missionary Jim Elliott said, for us to be present. Be present. God, help us be present this morning. Not worry about anything on the outside, but focus what's going on the inside. I do pray this morning for our young people, God, that you would touch them, anoint them with your Holy Spirit, help them be different, help them want to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm a Christian, I stand for Jesus, I'm not going the ways of the world. Protect our young people. And Father, I just thank you for our elderly people who's been faithful through the years and tithes and offerings, being here every service, Lord. Those who have built this church, Lord, and have stood here and stood by the pastors of this church. Thank you for them, Lord. We love the elders of our church physically and spiritually. And so, Father, I pray that you'll meet with us in a very special way today. let this be our prayer each and every day, but especially the days that we meet together in your house, Lord, to do something great for you, to be present not just in body, but in mind, Father. We love you today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. And amen.
So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. While you're making your way to your seats, if you will, grab a hymnal. Turn over to page number 393. And let's everyone stand together. And let's all sing, "When We All Get to Heaven." What a day of rejoicing that will be. All right, everyone sing together now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see
songs that we want to share with you this morning. And please remember, choir, no choir practice this afternoon, and we won't be singing in the service tonight. We have a special guest that's coming to share the music with us, and we're very thankful and very excited about that service tonight. So please be here at 5 o'clock. You won't want to miss that. And again, no choir practice this evening. But we are very excited to have an opportunity to share in that celebration on the 21st, so make that a matter of prayer. We'd love to take everyone with us. I believe it'll be a great time, be a great service as we honor a great friend, and we look forward to that service. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the service and on the offering this morning. CJ, would you lead us this morning as we pray?
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he shields the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy,
and the hill would not be hard to climb. Oh, just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, just hold on, our Lord will show up and he will take you
through the fire again.
Just hold on, our Lord will show up. And he will take you through the fire again.
They didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there, someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, it is I. He's the
eye of the storm, the center of my heart.
No worries, I have not lost my mind. Not yet, at least. Not yet, at least. Take your Bibles to the book of Genesis, if you would, for a few moments this morning. Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis 32. And in just a moment, I want to read from verse number 22 down through verse number 31 of Genesis 32 this morning. Growing up, I loved wrestling. Me and my brother actually watch it, and then we would wrestle. Most of the time, it was in the living room, jumping off couches, through coffee tables, jumping off chairs. It was kind of like a couple bulls in a china shop. The years we lived with my parents, we wrestled. The years we lived with my grandparents, we wrestled. I had wrestling action figures growing up. I even had the wrestling pillow buddy. Anybody remember that? The pillow buddies. Come on, y'all. I'm an 80s baby. I know some of you in here remember that. You wanted to really see a show? You should have seen me whooping Macho Man Randy Savage and my little pillow buddy. You know, I looked on eBay the other day, and they're still out there for sale. So just beware. Beware. Might be some good therapy. This morning I want to talk about a wrestling match that took place late one night. This match was between God and Jacob. So for a few moments this morning, I want to preach on this subject, this title, WWF, Wrestling with the Father. WWF, Wrestling with the Father. Genesis chapter number 32. Notice if you would in verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, speaking of Jacob, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted or limped upon his thigh. To stop reading there. That's reading Genesis chapter number 32, verse 22 down through verse number 31. I want to look at some things from this wrestling match this morning. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to do my very best to make application to all of our lives when it comes to this matter of wrestling with the Father, or WWF. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number 24, we see the setting of the wrestling match. The setting. Verse 24 says, "And Jacob was left alone." Jacob was at a place of solitude. He was left alone. This was a time of struggle for Jacob. Jacob previously had sent his family over the brook Jabbok during the night because he couldn't sleep. He was restless. Having one less thing to worry about before meeting his brother Esau the very next day. Jacob here is stressed. He's stressed about this meeting with his brother because he knows that the last time he's seen his brother, he extorted him for a cup of beef stew or a bowl of sod pottage. Jacob said, after Esau came in hunting all day and he was hungry, he said, "Brother, can I have a bowl of that stew?" He said, "Oh yeah, you can have a bowl, but I want the birthright." Esau, being the firstborn, had a birthright to the blessing of the father. And so he extorted his brother for that birthright. And later on, through the plotting, even of his mother, Jacob, he tricked his father into that blessing. He actually put hair on his arms and approached his father while his father's eyes were going dim, being of old age. And he tricked his father into the blessing. So Jacob is stressed. Jacob is not only stressed because of all of this, but Jacob is weary. He's weary. He's weary from working with Uncle Laban all of those years. Uncle Laban was a hard man to work for. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced working for a hard boss or not, but it makes the days go by real slow, and it's really hard to do. And so Jacob is, he's weary. Jacob is stressed, but also Jacob has responsibilities weighing on him. He has a family he's looking after. Not only that, he has servants. And so Jacob is at a time where his responsibilities of life are weighing upon him. But on top of that, this is a point of time where his past and past decisions are looming over his head. And so we see Jacob this morning with all of these things going on in his life in a place of solitude. It was a time of struggling in this place of solitude. My question to you this morning is this. I wonder if there's anybody here who feels how Jacob felt. Your heart this morning is broken. You're stressed to the max. The new year's just starting. You're wearied out from the fight of life. You can't just quit fighting and trying because you have responsibilities. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning with that kind of heavy load in the year just started. I do want to say about responsibilities this morning, thank God for responsibilities. Thank God for the full plates that He puts into our lives. We know we can't quit fighting. We know we can't stop living. We know we can't stop following Jesus because of the responsibilities He puts in our life. Thank God for responsibilities this morning. Thank God for a full plate. Sometimes people complain about having a full plate. Thank God this morning. We ought to thank God for having a full plate because having a full plate keeps us out of trouble. Someone said one time, you know why God puts leaders in the church, Brother Ceylon? So He can keep an eye on them. God puts a pastor in the church so He can keep an eye on them. God puts deacons in place so He can keep an eye on them. Listen, we all could go astray. Thank God for a full plate this morning. Thank God for our families that we are here to look after. Thank God. Thank God for a full plate. Thank God for having these responsibilities. And so quitting wasn't an option for Jacob. He had a family that was following him. He had servants on top of that. Again, past decisions were looming over him. He was stressed and he was wearied, but he knows he could not quit. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that's been wrestling. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that's been wrestling with God. You've been trying to get some freedom in your life. You've been trying to get that peace back in your life. You have been trying to get that joy restored. You have been wrestling. Have you been wrestling with God? This morning, when it comes to wrestling with the Father, we see the setting of the wrestling match. It was a place of solitude. Again, the Bible says in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. Number two, not only we see the setting of the wrestling match, but number two, we see the suspicious wrestler. Again, verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I want to say this morning that at first this wrestler was suspicious to Jacob. Jacob wasn't sure who it was. He fought with this suspicious wrestler at night. This was a night fight. This was a night fight that lasted from dusk till dawn with this suspicious man. Jacob was just trying to find a place where he could gather his thoughts and work through his heart, all these situations, but then all of a sudden, there was the headlock. He wanted to work through his dilemmas of life, but then out of nowhere, a headlock. Jacob was taken to the ground. I do want you to notice that this suspicious wrestler approached him. He approached Jacob by all indications. Look again what the text says. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. Doesn't say Jacob wrestled with a man. It just says that there wrestled a man with him. By all indications, this man approached Jacob, engaged in this fight with Jacob. Jacob was all alone, so he thought, and here comes this suspicious person and took him to the ground. Wrestling out of nowhere on the ground. Notice, if you would, the word wrestled here. The word wrestled in the Hebrew is abak, A-W-B-A-K, abak. It's pronounced abak. And there, abak, a man with him. So probably it's pronounced abak because of the nearby brook Jabbok. But the actual definition of this word, abak, or wrestled, means to bedust. To bedust. I had to look up the word to bedust. And it means to cover with dust. And so literally, Jacob and this suspicious wrestler, they were rolling in the dust. I mean, this wasn't a, don't pick on me. It was, no. Jacob was rolling around on the ground, dust all over him. This secret messenger, this angel, this person, this suspicious wrestler had Jacob hemmed up right in the middle of his stresses, right in the middle of his worries, right in the middle of trying to assume all his responsibilities. He was rolling in the dust as it appears some bully who was wanting to fight him. And so Jacob and this man are rolling around on the ground in the dust wrestling. Later we find out this suspicious person was indeed the Lord. A pre-appearance of Jesus. Verse number 30, the Bible says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. This is called a Christophany for Bible students, those who study the Bible. This is a pre-appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so literally, it was this wrestling match going on between God and Jacob. Think about this. We literally have a picture of the Creator wrestling his creation. From the dust of the ground, God formed man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and now we have God wrestling his creation in the dust where man came from. What a picture that is to me. Can I say that God still wrestles his children in the day and time in which we live? We still wrestle with God. This is something that's been going on at least from Jacob's day and before. And so the suspicious wrestler. Again, I do want you to notice this wrestler approaches Jacob. What does that mean? Really listen to this, church, because this is a big thing. It really helped me out. What does that mean that this small indication, this wrestler approached Jacob? God approached Jacob. What does this really mean? It means that God will not leave his children to themselves. God approached Jacob in his situation. God wanted to engage with Jacob, and God wanted to endue courage and faith instilled in Jacob through this wrestle. That's how faith is produced. That's how faith is sharpened. That's how courage is imputed, by wrestling with Almighty God. And thank God he does not leave us to ourselves. WWF, wrestling with the Father. I want to say this morning that God pursues us. We see that here. He approached Jacob. God approaches us. He pursues us. A.W. Tozer has a lot of books out. He has a book called God, or Our Pursuit of God, but then there's one, God's Pursuit of Man. That book needs to be read first. Because the only reason why we pursue God is because God first pursued us. And thank God we have a God who pursues us. We have a God who challenges us and wants to change us. He wants us to have victory over our stresses in life. He wants to revive us when we're weary. He wants to empower us to handle our responsibilities. Thank God for the heavenly headlocks. Does God got you in a headlock this morning? Seriously, think about it. We're going with the wrestling theme. If he does, why does he? Is he trying to take you out like the world would have us think? No. He's wanting to convey a message to us. He's wanting us to yield to him, but all the while he is teaching us. I love Psalm 144 in verse number 1. Don't turn there, I'll give it to you. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Praise the Lord this morning. We have a pursuing God. If you are in a strait betwixt two, if you are struggling this morning, you belong to Jesus. He is wanting to grapple with you. He's wanting to wrestle with you so that you could leave things up to him, so that you could wave the flag and say, I surrender, Jesus. I trust in you, Lord. God this morning is teaching us a little bit about fighting our hands and our fingers. So Jacob was stressed. He was wearied and had responsibilities. Therefore, he was engaged in a wrestling match with God, fighting his way through. This morning, whether we admit it or not, we wrestle with God every day. We wrestle with trusting him. We wrestle with him over our cares. I know that in my own life, I wrestle with God over cares because at first I want to take care of it. I want to be able to wipe the lens of my spiritual eyes and know everything's going to be okay in the future. And once I know that, then I'll trust God. I want to iron everything out, and when the stresses of life have been laid flat and ironed out, then I say, God, I trust you. You say, well, you're the pastor. Why are you dealing with things like that? Can I just give you an update on being a pastor? I'm human, and I am a needy creature, just like the rest of you. Listen, God, he wants us to trust in him. And whether we admit it or not, we wrestle with everything. We wrestle again with trusting Him, with cares and concerns. We wrestle with Him over the future. How are things going to be? Will my family be healthy? Will finances be okay? We wrestle with God. To the most self-righteous person, to the most humblest person, we wrestle with God. Let me mention this. Not only do I see the suspicious wrestler, but then I see the severe injury. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is, which I believe is the Lord talking, or him, the Lord, not prevailing. It's because the Lord allowed Jacob to have the upper hand on him. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. This was a severe injury. I don't know if you've ever had anything out of joint before, but it hurts. It hurts. We got a basketball player in the house right here that I want to embarrass real good for a minute. Tyler, GCA varsity basketball. Coach went to throw him a ball, and it met his pinky head on. Knocked it out of joint. It ain't fun, is it? I remember back in the day, B.C., before Christ, okay? My wild days. I remember got to a scuffle, a wrestle. My left arm was totally thrown out of place. It actually straightened out down like this. It was flat. And it had to be popped back in place. And you know, over 20 years later, this shoulder still does that if I'm not careful. When I raise my arms, whatever I do with my arms, I got to be careful because it'll just pop out. And it hurts. It hurts. Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And can you imagine that place right around in there just popping out? It'll cause a limp. And so we see a severe injury. Notice he says, verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Because of Jacob's aggression in this wrestle, it forced God to slow him down and get his attention by touching his body. Sometimes in life, God has to slow us down. Sometimes God has to touch us in a specific area of our life so that he can get our attention. Now, Jacob forever had a limp from this fight. If you look at verse 31, the latter part, the Bible says he halted upon his thigh. And so he literally walked off from fighting with God. Just like this. I don't know if it ever recovered. By all indication, he had this limp forever. And it was all from a fight with God. It was a very aggressive fight. And the Bible says when he saw he prevailed not against him, he touched him. Sometimes a long life's journey, whether we do something right, God still touches us. Whether we do something wrong, God still touches us through chastisement. At any rate, at any given time, wrestling with God touches our lives. Some wrestles with God can leave lifelong limps. When you're doing everything right, yet the burden you're carrying is so big, and you've wrestled with God in prayer, you've read His Word, you've claimed His promises. These situations, listen to me, in life, whether God removes the burden or not, can leave you, listen to this, with spiritual PTSD. PTSD. There is such a thing. I didn't have to Google it to look it up. I know about it myself. Sometimes life's traumas and burdens can be so heavy and wear you out. You wrestle with God, and whether God removes the burden or you're still carrying it, it leaves you with spiritual PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And you deal with it on a daily basis. It's the stress of what you went through. It's the traumatic experience of going through that and running to God. Listen, that weighs on a person's heart and mind. You leave with a limp. Not long ago, I was asked how I was doing when I walked in the door. He said, "Your head was down." He said, "Why don't you try to look more happy?" Can I just give a word of advice to everybody? If you see somebody with their head down, don't say something like that to them. You don't know what somebody's going through. This guy has been wrestling with the Almighty. Some of you have been wrestling with the Almighty. And listen, no hard feelings, not angry, not upset, but I'm just going to preach and say it from conviction. Let us be slow to speak and quick to listen. Especially an aged person of God. We ought to know better. Listen, don't judge one another. You see somebody with their head down, just put your arm around them and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." Maybe the problem with a lot of people asking questions like that is because they're not wrestling with the Lord. We said not long ago that there's complainers in the church. And most of the time, the complainers are those who are not working. Let me tell you why. Those of us that are working, and I know it ain't good English, but I'll say it. Most of us that are working ain't got time to complain. Ain't got time to fool with that. We're trying to work for God. We want to do something good for God. Don't come at me with any negativity. If you have general concerns, please, yes, come unto me. If you have solutions, come unto me. But don't come at me with negativity. Don't come at me with toxicity. Don't come at me with trying to create something within my mind that I wrestle with. Listen, let's come together and lift up one another, encourage one another. Let's engage wrestling with God. And definitely before service on Sunday morning, let us make sure that our hearts are right, our minds are right. We've got the grace of God on our lips. We've got love in our heart. We're breathing in the love of God. We are exhaling the love of God. My message this morning is to engage fighting with God. So we said when you're doing everything right, there's wrestling with God. And we're left with spiritual PTSD if we're not careful, even when we are careful. We're left and we live with memories of the wrestle as Jacob remembered his wrestle by his wimp. Not only we wrestle with God when we're doing right, but as I said a moment ago, we wrestle with God when we're doing wrong. When we make bad choices in life, God engages in a wrestling match with us. Thank God for that. Because He wants to bless us and use us. Yet our disobedience has caused spiritual injury. We go on and hopefully, prayerfully, we do better, but there's always a limp left or a scar that we stare at from the past. Wrestling with God because of disobedience. Wrestling with God because of obedience. At any rate, there is injury in this fight we're in. But God's intentions are only good toward us. He engages, He pursues us. Thank God we have a God who pursues us. But nonetheless, there was a severe injury here. Jacob, his thigh was out of joint. Let me mention something else. Not only the severe injury, but we see the surviving Jacob. The surviving Jacob. Jacob survives the fight, and it only prepares him, listen, with courage and faith for what lies ahead. Verse number 26, we see Jacob's determination. Look at verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, Jacob, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob's determination was real. He had some needs in his life. He was grappling and beginning to understand this was a divine being. This wasn't just someone mugging him on the backside of the brook Jabbok. He started to understand that there's someone here he's wrestling with that potentially could bless him. And so Jacob begins to realize he's not wrestling with an ordinary man. He realizes this is a divine being. Realizing this, Jacob asked for a blessing. Can I say this morning, there is great blessings to be found when wrestling with God. When we go to God in prayer, I know you heard it your whole life and you're probably tired of it. We go to God in prayer. There is great blessings to be found engaging in God in prayer. Stay a while. Pray till you have peace about it, or at least direction about it. You say, I have prayed about it. I have felt peace about it, but then after that peace came, it went and left. Go back to that prayer closet and pray again. Who knows, by the repetition or times of going to your prayer closet, God could turn you out a prayer warrior through your dilemma. And I think that's part of it this morning. God, He wrestles with us because He wants to create a regular prayer life in our lives. And so the thing that we think is killing us, God is starting something big in us. God is wanting to get close to us. And listen, we know that we're more desirous of God, or at least we're more desperate for God when everything is going wrong and nothing's going right. I'll be the first to say, Lord, I want everything to go right in my life. Lord, and listen, when I get down to pray, I do pray that, Lord, bless my daughter, bless my wife, bless us. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, but I pray just for a great day today. No problems. How rarely does that happen when you have no problems in a day? Huh? I don't know everything about prayer, but I'm learning a little inkling that when I am driven to prayer, God has a plan. God is trying to position me in my life to hear from Him better. And it don't come through mountaintop experiences. It comes through valley lows. Paul, he had that thorn in the flesh, didn't he? And at least three times he begged for thorn removal. God, please, I can be a better Christian if you remove this problem. God, please, I can be a better witness if you can remove this problem. God, please, I can see the sunshine on me. I can feel the warm air on me. Lord, please remove this thorn. The Lord finally answered him. And in essence, he says, Paul, I am not going to remove the thorn, son. And through those verses that you read, we discover, and even from Paul's mouth, he says, I have learned that when I am weak, then am I strong. Does anybody love the hard times? No, but how much do we actually need God in the good times? We don't really need Him. I said it. Because what? We got it, right? But when the bad times come, we need Him. I'm not asking for bad times, but I am asking that God will do a great work in my heart, that God will do a great work in the church's heart corporately, and I pray that you're asking that God will do a great work in your heart. What I want you to see is the perspective of it all. Don't run from your problems. Engage with God in your problems. He'll turn you out a prayer warrior. He'll do great and mighty things through your life, and He uses the unlikely to do tremendous things. Jacob's determination, God, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Somebody is here. Y'all know I ain't trying to sound like a TV preacher. But somebody, look, we're not meeting in vain. There is somebody here or watching on Facebook, listening on our webpage that is there. You're getting ready to quit. You're getting ready to put it in cruise control. What's the use? I've tried. Nothing changes. Can I beg you this morning to keep grappling? Don't put it on cruise control. Don't just be mediocre and mundane. Don't do those things. Don't quit. Don't give up. You have a family. You have people watching you. Listen, the sun will shine once again, I promise you. You will feel the warm air on your skin one day, I promise you. If you are a child of God, keep fighting with God. He'll turn you out to be a great soldier. He teacheth our hands to battle, our fingers to fight. Let me mention this in verse 27. Jacob's admission, this is important. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Can you believe what he said? My name is Jacob. Does anybody know what that name is attached to? It's attached to deception. In fact, when Jacob, when the boys were born, Esau came out first, hairy, red all over. Jacob came out with his hand attached to his heel. The very moment of birth, he was a taker. He wanted to come out first. Again, he extorted his brother into receiving the birthright and lied to his father. Even his mother was plotting on that and all the rest of it. And so when God said, what's your name, oh boy? He was ready. He was tired. He had been fighting all night. He said, sir, my name is Jacob. That old deceiver. Lord, I haven't always made the right decisions, and I've dropped the ball, and I've tried to trust in myself. I wanted to see that the future was planned out and laid down. Lord, it's me, Jacob. There was this admission in the middle of the fight. Listen, admission in the middle of the fight is everything. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Or, Lord, forgive me, I haven't been trusting you. He admitted his name. I'm Jacob, the deceiver. Listen, we must get honest with God in our struggles. Remember the disciples, they went fishing all night long. Jesus asked them, of course they didn't know it was the Lord at the point on the shore there. He said, children, have you any meat? What was their response? No. Nothing. A lot of times we put on these grand appearances like we've got it all together, like we're hovering over the ground, like we've got life by the horns. And let us just get honest with God this morning. We don't have it all together. We don't have life by the horns. Unless we get desperate for God to see God move and work in our lives, He will not. And so Jacob was honest. Those disciples were honest. No, not no meat. In fact, those disciples were wearing themselves out all night long, toiling and rowing. You're here this morning, and you are wore, slapped out physically, mentally, spiritually, and it's because you've been doing it without absolutely teetotal trust in Jesus. Because we know if we're trusting in Jesus, there's a peace beyond our understanding. Not to say that we don't go in and out of perfect peace, but if we're here this morning, we're not peaceful, it's because of not trusting. This morning, I quoted to myself several times that verse, I believe it's in 1 Timothy, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Sound mind, disciplined mind. I can have a disciplined mind this morning. I don't have to let my circumstances control me. I can have a disciplined mind. How? Because I have the mind of Christ. God's given me the ability to have this steadfast, disciplined mind. How can I have a disciplined mind? Because He's given me the spirit of power. those who are saved have the power to be the sons of God. We have power this morning. God loves me, and because He loves me, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out all fear. And because of all of these things this morning, I can have a peaceful, steadfast, sturdy mind. But I have to admit that I have a problem. Let me mention something else. Under the title, number 4, The Surviving Jacob, we see Jacob's determination, Jacob's admission, Jacob's change. Let me mention something else. And then I will be through. The surviving Jacob. But then let me say this as they come. I want to figure out how to say this. Come on, go ahead, come with a song. That was actually my 4 points this morning. I do want to leave you with this, though, is what I'm getting at. The setting of the wrestling match, the suspicious wrestler, the severe injury, the surviving Jacob. But I want to leave you with this about Jacob. I've got 7 papers up here. That's a record for me. Romans 9:13 says this, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Jacob was the lineage of which Jesus would come, continued, of course, through Judah. All of this shows us that God loves the sinner. He reaches out to the struggler and uses the unlikely. I believe it was evangelist Dana Williams that said, and I like it, I don't have a problem with God hating Esau. I do have a problem with God loving Jacob. How could anybody love someone like Jacob? Well, when you have a love that flows from heaven and you're the Son of God, and He so loved, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When you so love, unconditional love, agape love, then you could be able to understand why God loves somebody like Jacob. But I'm thankful this morning that Jesus loves us like He loved Jacob, because we all have a little Jacob in us. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for the message. I pray that something was said that may be of a help to somebody, even if it just scratched the surface a little bit for somebody. Lord, I pray.